Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea, the self-love podcast for women. I'm your host, Mary Jolkowski, an author, speaker, and all-around self-love advocate. And this is the podcast that will inspire you to love yourself. Hello, self-lover. Before we dive into today's podcast episode, I want to make sure you know about my two books on self-love. If you're struggling with body image or self-acceptance, then I highly recommend you check out my first book, The Gift of Self-Love. It's a comprehensive workbook to help you build confidence, recognize your worth, and learn to love who you are. Thousands of people have this book, and the 5-star reviews are so amazing. They give me so much life. So I hope that this is something that can help you too. You can get it wherever books are sold by searching for The Gift of Self-Love or go to my website, maryscupoftea.com/book. After releasing The Gift of Self-Love and reading all your positive feedback, I realized that we really needed something to keep us going every single day. So not a deep dive workbook, but maybe like a micro dose of self-love in your daily life, which is why I wrote 100 Days of Self-Love. It's a guided journal with, you guessed it, 100 prompts that cover so many areas of life, including body, identity, purpose, emotions, mindset, relationships, and more. So you can really think of it as a metaphor multivitamin, something to keep you going, or as I like to say, growing on your self-love journey. You can get this journal wherever books are sold as well by searching for 100 Days of Self-Love or go to maryscupoftea.com/journal. It's my mission to share all the self-love tea with you, so I hope that both my books and this podcast can do just that. If you are a living, breathing human being that has done anything noticeable ever at all, then chances are you've experienced criticism. If you're a woman, even more so. If you're a marginalized person, exceptionally so. And I start with this because I want to highlight that this topic of how to deal with criticism, it's different when you get criticized for something you did versus getting criticized just for existing or your group or community existing. But your ability to encounter criticism is directly proportional to both your self-esteem and your self-worth. If you read my book, The Gift of Self-Love, then you know exactly what the difference is between self-esteem and self-worth. I'm going to do a little recap here because criticism affects both of these big areas in our self-love as a whole. So self-esteem is circumstantial. Self-esteem is like, I feel confident doing this particular activity, or I feel confident in this particular area of my life. Whereas self-worth is the overall value that you give yourself. And it's often like very subliminal, subconscious, just like beneath the surface. It's where all those beliefs and thoughts about ourselves add up and they create this overall feeling about ourselves. So self-esteem, circumstantial, self-worth, more overall as a whole. And of course, criticism can affect both of those areas. But like I said at the beginning, when you're receiving criticism for something you did, then of course, that's going to affect your self-esteem or your confidence in that area. And that's a little bit more manageable. But if you're getting criticism on who you are, like at your core, or something you can't change about yourself, even if you wanted to, which you shouldn't, but if you're getting criticized for just like existing, then that's really deeply going to affect your self-worth. And that's why I started with that big caveat at the beginning, because obviously criticism, whether it's like microaggressions or hate crimes, like that all seeps into our subconscious and just really starts affecting us. Nevertheless, it's important to learn how to deal with criticism of all kinds so we can be more compassionate to ourselves, so we know how to talk ourselves through those negative opinions coming from other people and hopefully not let them affect us as much. And here I want to talk about the two types of criticism as I see it. There's warranted criticism, which is you wanted feedback on that paper. You're working on a project and trying to make it better. Someone is expressing hurt or harm caused. That's warranted criticism. That's more like feedback, right? You not only asked for it, but maybe you deserved it because you did something that affected somebody else in a negative way. And so they're expressing that to you and you might hear it as criticism, but really it's feedback. And I think warranted criticism is usually very well intentioned. It's like, I'm telling you that you hurt me because I want our relationship to be better. I want to feel good in this dynamic. See, that's coming from a really good place. Same with like your teacher or professor giving you notes on a paper. And of course, sometimes, again, if we don't know how to deal with this kind of feedback, we take it as extreme criticism when maybe we shouldn't. I remember when I was in ballet class, I did so much ballet growing up. It was my favorite thing ever. And my ballet teacher, who I was really close with because I took so many classes with her, I also ended up working at the studio. But there were times where I would like get really agitated about the feedback I'd receive in ballet. And sometimes, you know, when you're younger, when you're a teen, you're sensitive, you really take things not the way they're intended. And I remember telling my mom, like, you know, my ballet teacher, she always calls me out. She's always telling me that I'm doing something wrong or she's fixing my alignment or posture. And she doesn't do that to anybody else. And my mom said, she puts more energy and attention into you because she believes in you. As long as it's not mean or actively hurtful, then it really is because she wants you to be better. And I'll never forget that. And I think ever since I kind of like appreciated tough love in doses. Like I do like some directedness, straightforwardness, because I want to grow just like I wanted to in ballet. And when I saw it that way, suddenly when Miss Carol would come over and adjust my arms or tell me to turn out my feet better, I would take that as a compliment because I'm like, she's giving me energy and attention and not the girl behind me, which is a little bit toxic. But anyway, that was my teen thought process. Okay, the second type of criticism is the unwarranted criticism. Of course, this one is the worst, not pleasant to receive at all, difficult to deal with. And it's something that sometimes comes out of the blue. It's not justified. And I think the biggest trait of unwarranted criticism is if the criticism itself does more harm than good. One time, many years ago, I was attending lots of Toastmasters meetings. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's basically like a free or relatively inexpensive public speaking club. They have them all around the United States, maybe even internationally. But anyway, you just come and you practice speaking in front of people. This was around the time that I was preparing for my TED Talk. And my TED Talk was about body image. And in my TED Talk, I told this story about how I lost my shit at my mom for getting me a mocha. And that's because I was so disordered and so struggling with food and body image that I literally had a panic attack and was so mean to my sweet mother because she ordered me a really nice mocha when we met up at the coffee shop. And I told this story essentially like as an ode to my mom and like apologizing and expressing gratitude for her support, and also to highlight just how anxiety provoking and severe food and body image struggles can get, that your body image takes away from your life experience. And that was the whole premise of the talk. Well, in this particular Toastmasters club, this one person who was an older, a very 80s, kind of like our presidents, white man who often got on his high horse about how other people should speak in public. And at first, I liked being in his presence because I was like, I'm learning so much about public speaking. Now, looking back, I realized that I was learning a lot about public speaking as an old white man. But regardless, I've grown since then because of what happened to me the day that I shared my TED Talk. And my intention was just to practice before I went on stage in front of 500 people and had this TED Talk filmed. So I go up to the front of the room at this conference room and I give my talk. I thought I did okay. I was a little shaky and I was really excited to receive feedback from this man in particular. And when I tell you, he stood up, raised his voice, started tearing me apart, tearing my talk apart, I suppose I should be more specific there, why should I care about your talk if I don't drink coffee, I'm not overweight, and my mom is dead? And he was trying to make a point that like my talk didn't relate to everybody or something like that, or he didn't understand what the topic was about. And I was devastated because this was somebody that I literally idolized. Like I thought he was just such a good public speaker and I wanted to speak like him. And then after many months of being in this club, he said that to me in front of everybody. It was just very harsh. And one thing my husband said to me when I came home crying that day, and he was just my boyfriend at the time, like we were together only a few months, but I remember feeling really heard and understood by him. And he said, they criticize you because they don't understand you. And you can't force somebody to understand you. Criticizing is the way that people make it make sense in their head. They're like, okay, well, if it doesn't make sense to me in this well-intentioned positive way, then I'm going to spin it into this bad negative way because that is what lands with me. So it was, you know, not pleasant. We got through it. And I also decided that I'm not going to let that guy dictate not only what I speak about, but how I speak about it. And I'm not going to let him stop me from having a podcast or speaking on stages. And I was really grateful for that opportunity to give a TED Talk, and it did make me stronger in the end. About 3 years ago, I started putting together a playlist with uplifting, inspiring, and empowering songs. I originally did this for myself because I love music of all different genres, and every time I would notice a song that just made me feel good, I would add it to my self-love playlist. And now there are over 300 songs on my Spotify self-love playlist. And these tracks are perfect for when you're getting ready, trying to hype yourself up, or going through a struggle and need a reminder for how badass you are. If you love music as much as I do, then go to maryscupoftea.com/playlist to get the Spotify link. It will ask you for your email so that I can send you this self-love playlist. And full transparency, this will also put you on my email list where I send out a monthly newsletter about stuff I'm thinking about, personal things, things I don't really share on social media, and all the happenings in the Mary's Cup of Tea world. So go to maryscupoftea.com/playlist and let's start jamming to my self-love playlist together. That brings me to another type of unwarranted criticism, which is any comments on your food or body are always unwarranted. You live in your body. You know what your body needs. You know what your body might struggle with. You know what is good for it and what's not. Nobody else can tell you that besides maybe your doctor, which in that case would make it warranted criticism, right? Like you come to your doctor to hopefully feel better and listening to what they say. But a lot of doctors are also fat phobic and brainwashed into diet culture. So remember that doctors are people too, and they might not always know what's best for you or be educated on different bodies and research coming out about how genetics and socioeconomic status and eating disorders and just so many things that go into not just a healthy body image, but health and wellness overall. So comments, criticism about your body or what you eat, how much you eat, those are never, ever, ever, ever okay. And again, I know it's hard to receive those, especially if you're already feeling insecure in that area. But I like to remind myself of this silly little analogy I came up with. Imagine that somebody walks over to you and pours salt on your hand. Like they just take some table salt and pour it on your hand. You're going to be like, bro, why the hell did you just pour salt on me, you friggin' weirdo, right? You're going to hopefully move on with your life and be like, cool, bye. Now imagine that you have a cut on your hand and somebody walks over and pours table salt right on that cut on your hand. That's going to freaking burn. That's going to make you angry. It's going to hurt. The salt itself isn't what caused the hurt. It's sometimes the fact that we have a pre-existing wound in that area that is going to make the criticism hurt so much more than if it was just salt on your hand where there was no wound. The criticism that always hurts us the most is the type that echoes what we already think about ourselves, what we're already feeling about ourselves. And as soon as you hear it come out of somebody else's mouth, the same nasty bullshit garbage that you tell yourself, as soon as it comes from someone else, it is very confronting because it is right there in front of your face coming from someone else. And of course, our first reaction is to direct that energy back toward that person and say, how could you? And get really angry. And then maybe when we conflict resolve and deal with that and block those types of people from our lives, maybe then that's our opportunity to look inward and say, why did that trigger me so much? And how can I heal so that things slide off with a little bit more peace? Not to forgive them faster than needed, but more so to heal yourself. So this is to highlight that nobody can make you feel inferior without your consent. And I'm not saying consent as in you asked for it. I'm saying consent as in there's already a pre-existing wound, some kind of insecurity. So if you get criticism and you find that it's hurting, it's landing a little too deep, or you're just ruminating on it for reasons unbeknownst to you, then chances are if you look a little bit deeper, those reasons are that you are truly feeling insecure about that. Otherwise, it wouldn't rile you up as much. It wouldn't affect you if there wasn't something there to contend with. So I would see that kind of pain, not the criticism. Of course, the person is still wrong for pouring salt on your wound, but I would take that inflammation of emotional pain as a sign to look inward and see where you can further heal that insecurity. Now that we've talked about the different types of criticism, where it comes from, what makes it hurt so badly, I want to give you some words of encouragement and things to think about before you take someone else's criticism to heart. The old adage of opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one. And everyone thinks that their own doesn't stink. I think that is so true, so funny. My ex-stepdad used to say that all the time, so it's kind of like ingrained in my head. I've made it into my own by saying, opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one, but not everyone wipes theirs really well. And I think this feels more realistic to me because there are some good opinions out there that are worth listening to, that are interesting and thought-provoking. But those types of well-formed opinions are usually from people that have wiped really well. You know, they've thought about it, they've researched, they've done the due diligence in order to express their opinion, right? With social media and the prevalence of everybody hanging out online, strong opinions are formed faster than they're researched. And it doesn't take much for some troll to become a self-proclaimed activist. And this doesn't just affect like how we exist in cyberspace. This affects how entitled we feel to expressing our opinion and expressing our criticism in real life too. You know, it's like we kind of train ourselves on the internet to be these secret assholes. Not we, I'm talking about just like in general. This is a collective criticism of society. We train ourselves to be assholes hiding behind our phones and not really facing real world consequences to saying bullshit out of our ass. And then that kind of energy translates to how we hang out in real life. And of course, people who spread negative energy and hate, they're going to affect the people receiving that negative energy and hate. And thus, they might be more likely to pay it forward, not because they're bad people, but because the shit spreads like a virus. So it is really important to heal ourselves enough so that we don't pass it on, so that we're not only not fighting fire with fire, but also not spreading that wildfire to the people that we love. Because sometimes getting a negative comment on social media, like it will make me grumpy. Like today, oh my God, there was so much stuff that I read about myself on the internet this morning because one of my videos went viral. It was actually about, in the last podcast episode, I shared about this art piece that I thrifted, and everybody was just jumping to conclusions, making assumptions, painting me out to be this terrible, vicious devil. On top of that, the one that hurt the most, and talk about pouring salt on a wound, I got one of my first not so great podcast reviews. And this person commented that, like, the host doesn't know how to pronounce words. She should look up the pronunciation before speaking. And I think this goes back to, like, some of that criticism I received on my TED Talk and public speaking, because it's already such a, like, a shaky, vulnerable thing for me to do. And of course, I put a lot of time and energy and heart into this podcast and sometimes question if I'm good enough. And so getting a negative review on the podcast just hurts, you know, it hurts. And when it comes to, like, my English and the way I speak, like, English was my second language. So my whole life, I was always, like, trying to catch up, trying to learn words, trying to gain vocabulary that I didn't have at the house because we spoke a totally different language. So sometimes kids would laugh at me if I didn't know what something meant. So it just took me back to, like, little Mary on the playground asking, what does that mean? Anyway, you know, this is honestly what inspired me to record this podcast episode for you. As always, I am speaking to myself and I'm trying to self-talk my way into not letting such criticism hurt me as much. So here's what I want to say to myself and to you. Don't take criticism from anyone who you don't want to be like. Only take advice from people who actually have more expertise than you, people who you admire and want to learn from. And the way you can figure out if you admire them and want to learn from them, pretty sure you already know, but in case you're put in a situation like how I was with that public speaking coach, I, for a while, just questioned myself. I was like, maybe he's right because he's this person that I used to admire. And then he gave me all this negative feedback, and maybe I'm the one that needs to change. So here are some questions that I wish I could have asked myself back then. The first one being, is their criticism coming from a good place? Like, are they actually trying to make you better or make the world better in some way? I think when it comes to people talking down to you or the tonality, and again, the way somebody delivers a message, it matters a lot. That's where you can really tell, like, if it is coming from a good place. And generally, if it's aggressive, it's not coming from a good place. Second question is, are they actually out to make a difference or make a statement? This is a good one. I just want you to sit with that. Are they actually out to make a difference or make a statement? Commentators on the internet are not making a difference, they're making a statement. That goes to body comments too, like people on their high horse about health and weight loss and diets and this and that. Like, I don't think they're actually trying to improve the health and well-being of anybody's lives. If they were, they would be talking about food deserts and child poverty and world hunger and access to medical health care, which is something that people in lower socioeconomic statuses don't have. And I don't know, maybe racism in the medical industry and how people are treated differently based on their weight. And there is a weight bias when you come into a doctor's office. And all of that is also a part of health that they claim they oh so care about. But of course, it's so much easier to make a statement like, I worked hard for my body and I'm so healthy and you're not. They don't want to make a difference. They want to make a statement. So why would you listen to that? And lastly, why should you trust what they have to say? Like, why is this person a reliable narrator? Question the narrator. Remember how we learned in, like, English class, we would be like, is this a reliable or unreliable narrator? Like, can you actually trust what this person has to say? Sometimes if you're criticizing yourself without warrant, then maybe you are the unreliable narrator, in which case it makes it hard to kind of differentiate between other people if they're reliable narrators or not, because your judgment is clouded by your own self-criticism. And in this case, I want to remind you that loud doesn't mean true. Just because the thoughts in your mind are loud does not mean that they are true. And don't believe everything you think. Lastly, though, I hope that this podcast episode helped you deal with any criticism that might be floating around in your brain. If you're still struggling or just want supplemental reading material, I recommend the book called The Four Agreements. It's such a short, easy read, but I always get a lot from it, no matter which time I'm reading it. There are two agreements in there that specifically help in dealing with criticism. And one of those is don't take anything personally. Nothing others do is because of you. What others say and do is a projection of their own reality. When you are immune to the opinions and actions of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. So don't take anything personally. Everything is a projection. And the other agreement that kind of goes with this topic is don't make assumptions. So sometimes we'll get like a little, I'm not saying don't trust your gut, but sometimes we do jump to conclusions really quickly. So in the book, he writes, find the courage to ask questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstanding, sadness, and drama. One of my best friends, she says, if somebody has a problem with me, but they don't say nothing to me, then it's not my problem. It's their problem. And I really love that. So don't take anything personally. Don't make assumptions. And don't take criticism from people who you wouldn't trade places with. I hope this has been helpful. And I'll talk to you in the next episode. One last thing before we farewell, my self-lovers. If you've been enjoying the Mary's Cup of Tea podcast, I would greatly appreciate it if you could leave a review on Apple or rate the show on Spotify. You can do this by searching for the show Mary's Cup of Tea. Scroll all the way down on Apple Podcasts and you'll see stars where you can click one of the stars and leave a few kind words. It just means so much to me because I'm so behind the scenes when I'm podcasting, so I don't really get to see the impact of the show unless you leave a review. And on Spotify, there's just a button that says rate the show and it'll let you put however many stars you want. Your feedback helps the podcast grow, and as someone whose love language is words of affirmation, your kind words mean the world to me. Thank you so much for supporting the show and helping me spread the gift of self-love. I love you all so much, and I will talk to you in next week's episode.